All right, everybody. We are back. We've had a little break here from the podcasting program, but we're back and we got a great episode for you today. Arthur Hancock and Diana Ralston from Candade here with us today, and we're very excited to talk about everything that Candade's got going on and you guys collaborating coming up soon, and you have many times in the past. We talked about Candade quite a bit last time we had you on the podcast, Arthur, and excited to learn more today and spread the word out to everybody listening. So thanks for coming on the podcast, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
I was going to say, everyone should be very familiar with Arthur. He's been on before and he's been working on a ton of music projects over the years between Wolf Pen Branch and solo stuff and the Wooks. Jeez, you're a man of many trades.
Thank you, sir. So,
just some context. If you're like, wait, who is Arthur Hancock? Like, you should know who that is by now.
Definitely. So, yeah. Diane, I think it's best that we start with you, especially because this is your first time on the podcast. Why don't you, if you could give everybody a bit of a background, like I said, if these people have not listened to the last episode where Arthur kind of explained what Candade is and what all it does for people out there, if you could kind of give us a background as far as, you know, what you guys do and what kind of programs you run through Candade.
Sure. Candade is a national nonprofit. We started out in Colorado in September of 2013. And at that time, it was actually in response to a flood that hit the Front Range of Colorado. But we quickly pivoted from that. We still do some disaster response work, but we now have programs that impact all 50 states. And I would say it's based on a pretty simple premise that everybody has the ability to give back and do good. And so we create pretty fun, accessible, hyper local, depending upon who we're working with, and really impactful programs all across the country. So people can come meet their neighbors, roll up their sleeves. And so the common thread through everything is this people power, that we're really reliant on volunteers in order to do our programs. And we do programs in environmentalism. We do beach and river cleanups. We have a national recycling initiative. We have a program called Treads and Trails, which actually works to get kids off of their screens and get them outside leading healthy, active lives. So we build brand new bicycles and skateboards for those kids and then donate them to them. And, you know, it's funny. It's like I have two teenagers now. Well, actually one 20-year-old and one 17-year-old. But even before the pandemic, kids were on their screen 7 hours a day on average, and only one in five got the daily recommended amount of exercise. So through this Treads and Trails program, we're giving kids not only like the resources and tools, a bike or a skateboard, but we're giving them lessons and teaching them how to be outside and be safe on their bikes and boards. So just really trying to get them off their devices, get outside. And then we have our music and arts program, which Arthur has been very involved in, first as a Wook and in solo career. And, you know, he's helped us a ton. So we work with nationally touring musicians to raise funds and then purchase instruments for public school music programs that have a need. And then our Tunes ambassadors, one of which is Arthur, when they're out on tour going around the country, we work with public school music programs and work directly with the teacher of that program to find out what those schools need. And then our Tunes ambassadors go into the schools, do some hands-on music lessons and perform for the kids, do a little Q&A, talk about what it's like to be a professional touring musician, and then reveal the fact that their music program is getting a whole host of new instruments thanks to Candade.
That is awesome. I'm very curious. So obviously Arthur is one of your Tunes ambassadors, but who else do you have involved with that? Any other artists that we would know?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't know whether it's because people in the bluegrass Americana space are just good-hearted, good people. We do have a lot, and things have changed, obviously, because of the pandemic, but we've worked, one of our very first Tunes ambassadors is the Steep Canyon Rangers and the infamous String Dusters, and we still do things with those guys all the time. Trout Steak Revival. We've been trying really hard to work with Tyler Childers. We've actually had to postpone two different instrument donations and events because of COVID the past two Septembers out here in Colorado. But We have done some work with a couple of the guys in his band over the years as well. And so we're hoping this September we'll get to do some more with them when they're back out in Colorado. But like I said, we do things all over the country. So we've got a few more brand new Tunes ambassadors that we're speaking with right now that are hopefully going to come on board and start doing things with us this fall.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
Look forward to hearing more about that.
How long have you been working with Candade, Diana?
So I'm actually the founder, and it started in September of 2013, so nearly 9 years now, which is crazy that it's gone that fast. But
did you really expect it to kind of, you know, grow into what it is today, or how did that kind of develop over the years from starting out as like disaster relief? How did you kind of make your way to now getting into the music and arts programs and doing all the things that you do today?
Well, it's actually sort of backwards. I had a plan for a nonprofit, and I had, you know, the outdoor space, the recycling initiative, and the music and arts, and then the flood happened. And so it was sort of backwards. Disaster response was never in my initial plan because I wasn't anticipating this flood here in Colorado. But at the time I was working for a craft brewery by the name of Oscar Blues, which now, you know, is international, but it started right here in Lyons, Colorado, which is where I live. And this was one of the towns most heavily impacted by that flood. So it was just an interesting start because there was so much need. We had people reaching out from around the country that knew they loved Dale's Pale Ale. And they said, oh my God, the birthplace of Dale's Pale Ale is literally underwater. What can we do to help? And so we were able to get expedited nonprofit status. And for the first year and a half, we really worked just to help the businesses and people and families that had been impacted by the flood. And then we shifted to do all these other programs that I initially had in my head. So it's been a wild ride.
I'm intrigued by that one you're talking about with getting students off of screen time too, because I'm a teacher, and I remember like towards the end of last year, like everybody learned how to teach using Chromebooks, and like that's what the kids kind of, that was their norm for a while. And then there's like an actual nature deficiency disorder, like they had like a whole acronym for it, for like kids not being outside enough, like it's actually like affecting their brains. Like, so they're like teaching us different ideas to get them outside.
Like, the mental health crisis, like I think it was bad pre-2020, but it's really escalated, especially in teens and tweens, anxiety, depression, increased suicide rates, all of that. So having either a way to get outside and enjoy that, or a creative outlet like learning to play an instrument or sing, or we even supply kids with a lot of art supplies so that they have just something that they can paint or draw or just do something creative, because that certainly helps combat the mental health crisis.
Yeah. For the kids listening, Fortnite is not very creative. So.
And just the loss, I mean, two years during COVID, I mean, the kids lost social skills, you know, just developed just being at school, losing social skills, and totally, you know, playing music with one another, or going outside, skateboarding, riding bikes, whatever it may be, like, you know, everything you guys do is helping, you know, build those back up too. So,
yeah, that's super cool. Super cool.
Arthur,
let's get into that.
You've been awful quiet.
Because I bow down to Diana's excellence at saving the world.
I still want to, you know, kind of go over your experience with Candade too, because some people who are listening now may not have listened to that episode when we talked so much about that. So I guess if you'd like to give us, you know, your background with Candade and how you got involved, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So I think it was the year that the Wooks competed in, which was 2017, I think. Maybe it was 16. I can't remember. The years have gotten kind of blurry as I've become an old man. But the Wooks went out to compete in the Rocky Grass Band Competition. And I guess through a friend of ours, we got connected with Diana. They were having a fundraising event at a ranch, like a cool little farm right near Lyons. And Rocky Grass, if you don't know, is a great festival hosted by Planet Bluegrass, which is probably the great bluegrass and Americana promoter in the country, as far as Colorado has it locked down. They're amazing. So we went over to just kind of be like a house band for the night for this barbecue. And it was actually a Candade event where folks had bought tickets to hang out and jam or hang with the Steep Canyon Rangers. And I remember playing some of our music and the Rangers guys being like, oh, you guys are going to crush this competition. And we actually did win that year, which was really cool and jump-started a lot of our careers. But ever since then, Diana and another gal of Candade, Sarah Levitt, who I can't say what her name is now. Diana, you could fill me in. She just got married. Maybe she's keeping the name.
She's pushing hard for Leatherby, which would be a blending of the names. We'll see where that
blending of the name. But Diana and Sarah, and there's a number of other great folks who have come out when we're on the road. We've worked over the last, I guess it's 5 years now. And I'm always calling upon them with ideas, some of which don't always pan out. Just trying, you know, I really appreciate what they bring in the nonprofit space. You know, a lot of times when you donate to a nonprofit, you're not really sure what you're donating to. And I've seen firsthand kids. We did a donation in New York City with the Wooks. We did one in Colorado. We did one in Irvine, Kentucky. Right now I'm working on, I don't know if Diana even has this on her radar yet, but my kids attend a school in Frankfurt and I think they're eligible. So we're going to work on maybe getting Wolfpin Branch and Candade together in Frankfort, Kentucky this fall for an instrument donation. But, you know, we've entered schools and sat in the classroom and played music and talked about being a touring musician. And it's a lot of the kids, I've heard kids say it's like the coolest thing that ever happened in their school. They don't always know that we're lowly bluegrass Americana musicians. They think we're, you know, rock and roll superstars, but
you are rock and roll superstars. Yeah, come on, man.
Don't sell yourself short.
But, you know, we have a lot of fun, and I've also been lucky to host a few Candade Creek cleanups, and we'll get together on a body of water that means a lot to a community and just go out and pick up trash. And it's kind of scary how much trash you end up picking up when you get 20 or 30 people together. And those are really fun. I'm working on another one of those this fall, actually, in Kentucky. And, you know, I've just really enjoyed working with Candade. And the thing that I can say, when we met as an emerging, you know, artists, the Wooks were new. Now, of course, we're like old news in the bluegrass world, but those records and stuff, Candade was a major contributor to the creation of the records that we made. It was a two-way partnership, and they brought a lot, even financially, to the table to help us create and make music. And I know they've done that with a lot of other artists out there that we all respect and care about. So, you know, they put the resources where they need to be. You know, it's really exciting, and we're working on a lot of stuff. And I'm always grateful that Diana will even take my calls when I call her fired up about something. So.
No, I love it. I think that's one of the unique things about Candade too, since we are still relatively new and a smaller team. We're able to, and our program areas are intentionally broad so that when we hear about an exciting project that's going to help people in need, we're like, yeah, we're all in. Let's figure out how we can make an impact. And I do think with the Tunes program, you know, we knew obviously the kids and the schools would benefit, but we didn't realize how powerful it would actually be for the musicians. Like we've worked with Mo Lauda and the Humble, and I'm blanking on the musician that actually said something to me about this, but was just talking about how when you're on the road so much, it's usually pretty self-serving and you're out late and you're self-promotion and all of that. And so to actually get up and go to the schools and see the kids and interact was so rewarding for the musicians. And that was nice. And then we started getting other musicians that would see a social media post from one of the bands that we worked with, and they were like, hey, how do we get in on this? Like, you know, it was cool. It was very cool to see.
Definitely. I'd like to hear a little more about like how would a school go about getting in touch with you guys to like do something yeah. like this, or how does a school qualify, I guess, for either, you know, an instrument donation or just working with you? And
I was going to say, I'm curious about that too. I work at a low SES school.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, there's need everywhere, but we do right. have forms on our website that people can fill out and say, hey, if you're in our area, here's what we need. And we have like an ongoing list of schools that want bikes or mm-hmm. skateboards or instruments. But typically we do try to work with the bands when they're on tour. And then we mm-hmm. find typically it's Title I, which is high needs, low income, you know, free and reduced lunch school. And then just typically work with the either the music director or the music teacher. And we've bought everything from, you know, choral risers, because that's what that school needed, to some electronica stuff, because they were trying to do that type of, introduce that program into their curriculum. So, and everything mm-hmm. in between.
That's awesome.
That, yeah, super cool.
It's really fun yeah. to stand there with like 30 ukuleles and tell the kids, like, you can touch these. They get really excited.
Typically, you know, I guess, is it then up? It's I guess the school contacts you and says, we need this instrument or whatever. And then you kind of just go from there. And do you then obviously match probably the artist or the musician to kind of fit the need for what instrument is needed, I guess?
Not necessarily. It's funny. We have a Jamtronica band that we work with, and you know, they go into schools and the kids lose their mind. We also brought, you know, Steep Canyon Rangers went into a pretty, you know, kind of touch and go area in the Tenderloin part of San Francisco, and went in and did, you know, nobody has been in there to give an assembly, or, you know, it's totally overlooked, underserved area. And mm-hmm. they went in and played bluegrass, and most of the kids there had never heard of bluegrass. And, you know, it was just awesome. It
That's
was
cool.
And by the end, yeah. they're up there and they're trying to play the banjo, and they're, you know, so we don't necessarily match up what the school needs with the type of musicians. It's more, okay. we're working when we have bands that are on tour and that are willing to go in and do these yeah. assemblies, then sure. we find, reach out to the schools.
Those kids are going to get fired up no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's cool. You know, we could segue into this fish in with the musician, which kind of goes well with the new song from Wolfpen. If that,
well, it's not from Wolfpen, bro. It's from yours truly.
Oh, it's Arthur Hancock.
Yeah, song. So I'm working on some solo stuff as well as the Wolfpen stuff. So
okay.
Yeah, so I can tell you about that. Yes, please. There's a guy in Kentucky named Casey Stockton, who y'all mentioned before we started the podcast. Yeah. Casey is an outfitter, fishing guide, hunting guide as well. And he and I partnered with Candade in 2020 when the pandemic was kind of the early stages. And we did some charitable events where we found a fan that wanted to go fishing with me, which is hard to do because there's not very many fans out there, you know. No, but we found a good friend and fan who wanted to make a contribution to Candade, and we took her fishing, and we had a barbecue and a jam and had this great hang, you know, which is something that can happen when you're playing music. You kind of lose touch with like normal. You're like going and playing the show and then blasting to the next one, and you're not really getting that kind of more organic interaction with people that mm-hmm. love your music. So that's been a program that has existed but hasn't really been all that active. So I wrote a song about fishing over the course of this spring and recorded it, and that's coming out August 16th. And for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been going out to Montana, and Candade's gotten involved, and we have a charity concert in Ennis on Main Street at the Burnt Tree Brewery, where we take donations for Candade, and we play music and fish and have this, you know, and that whole thing. We've thought about like selling trips to go to that and to do,
yeah,
you know, all kinds of, we've tried to come up with angles on how we could raise money for Candade and their programming through this trout rodeo, as we call it. And so mm-hmm. This year I wrote a song called Trout Rodeo, which I hope people love as much as I do. It's really fun. I guess we're going to hear it here shortly on the podcast. And we're working on an entirely brand new idea, which is a national fishing with a musician charity concert, which we've got. I don't know who we can confirm or not confirm is, you know, going to be involved, but I talked to a bunch of my friends and other people that I look up to, and we're working on getting them in line. So when this comes out, which may be tomorrow, in the podcast world, be on the lookout for the Fishing with the Musician charity auction to go in coordination with the release of Trout Rodeo. It's going to be really cool. So,
and estimated like mid-August on that. August,
yeah. I would think the week of Trout Rodeo, which is August 16, 17,
18. And just to clarify a little bit more about that Fishing with the Musician, it's really cool, especially for big fans of specific musicians, because it's going to be a auction where they can bid online to fish with, you know, one of these big name musicians. And Arthur does have a lot of awesome friends that are very generous. So I feel like we've got some pretty big names that have said yes to doing this. And then they'll coordinate directly with that musician to go fish with them and then have a jam session with that one musician after they fish. And that can happen all over the country.
I mean, that's got to be like a fan's dream.
Totally.
Right? like there's one thing to go to a show or whatever, but like to just chill out and go fishing and do, like you said, normal stuff and then like jam out a bit like that. I mean, that's tough.
I think it sounds pretty good. Yeah.
I'll be bidding.
Yeah. Holy cow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I wish we could reveal more of the names, but we're in the coordination process right now and figuring out the experiences. You know, I've got guys in Texas, guys in Tennessee, North Carolina, Colorado, Montana. We're working on some gals as well. Getting some ladies involved. As artists who want to go fish. And so it's going to happen. We're pushing forward, and it's cool too. Cause I'm excited about the whole project because it's nationwide, just like Candidate's programming. So we'll be able to hit a lot of places across the country and have a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Everybody stay tuned to that. I'm going to stay tuned to that. Figure out.
Yeah. That sounds
who's all on the list. Who am I going to bid on?
Are you going to bid on John R. Miller, or are you going to bid on Tony Camel, or are you going to bid on can't tell you
I'm
anymore.
I'm going to bid on Arthur Hancock.
Well, you know, the thing that got me thinking about it was my wife runs a nonprofit, and I donated a Fishing with the Musician with me to that charity auction, and it brought like a lot of money. So I was like, oh, nice. What if we got somebody that, you know, if we get some real artists in here?
Oh, come on.
But we've been having a lot of fun.
I would dust John R. and some fishing too, but yeah.
Maybe we should have a tournament aspect to it.
There you go.
Yeah, dude.
Some sort of competition.
Come out to we'll have a tournament at my parents' pond. We got some big bass and catfish and crappie and walleye in there.
There you
and
go.
Then I get home court advantage, so I'll surely win.
That's cheating. Well, before we play this song for you, do you want to tell us anything specific about the recording of the song or anything like that?
Yeah, so there's some funny moments in there. I wanted to write a fisherman song. So if you're not a fly fisherman, I'm sorry, you might not understand what the hell I'm talking about. If you are a fly fisherman, I think you'll enjoy it. But I'm sitting in an office here at Ashburn Farms in LaGrange, Kentucky, and we are getting ready to play a gig here. But my buddy Darren Shoemaker produced and recorded the whole thing at Ashburn Farms. We got Jeff Guernsey, who plays with Wolfpin on the fiddle. Yeah.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah, it's his birthday today. Awesome. Steve Cooley played with the Dillards on the banjo. Darren, myself, and Roddy Puckett on the bass. And it was just a lot of fun to record the tune. I was excited to write it. The cool thing we did, though, is we sent I called my buddies in Montana in Ennis at the Trout Stalkers Fly Shop, and we got 12 of their guides in a room with a microphone and recorded them saying something that is included in the song, which I thought was kind of cool to, you know, do some cross country recording and have it included in the tune. So there's like, you know, there's like 20 people on the track, I guess, when you count them all up, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's fun. And, you know, hopefully one day Trout Rodeo in Ennis is a festival, and we are raising money for Candade and also doing an annual Fishing with a Musician auction. That would be a really cool thing to see happen. So all of you have said, when this song comes out in August, you get to hear it here first, I guess, which is exciting. But when it comes out in August, give it a listen and definitely check out the auction for the artists that we're going to be selling.
Yeah.
All right. Trout Rodeo to the Moon. Here we go.
And I was feeling in my prime. I was sticking, hitting holes with a handful line, double hauled it just in time. Out from under a tree came a river donkey, and I knew he was mine. We were ripping through a rapid, and the brownie was splashing straight in hell and making a show. Then about that time there in stream, fish on was a piggy of a rainbow. So we're both hooked up and we're feeling really tough, all thanks to Captain Joe. And as the fire raged on, long till we all would know. Gonna need a bigger net, boys. It's a risky game. When you're reaching for a hog and the slapper's like a log goes bouncing off the frame, we gotta get a bigger net, boys. It's a crying shame. That big old brownie's water bound. Always keeping dreaming every time you go. Fish big or small is all I want at all. If you call, I'll say let's roll. Life ain't all that hard with the river in the yard, wetting lines in the morning glow. Got the fix of jeans if you know what I mean. Hell yeah, Trout Rodeo. Gonna need a bigger net, boys. It's a risky game. When you're reaching for a hog and the slapper's like a log goes bouncing off the frame, we gotta get a bigger net, boys. It's a crying shame. That big old brownie's water bound, the one that got away. That big old brownie's water bound, the one that got away.
All right, that was the first listen for Trout Rodeo. Thanks, Arthur, for letting us play that in here. It'll be available August 16th for you to buy up. And right around that time, remember, keep an eye and an ear out for that auction and bid on who you want to go fishing with, which artists are out there. So kind of sneaked a couple of those in there, but sounds like there's a lot more to come. So, yeah.
You wanted to tell us a little bit more about the artwork, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a – and thanks, guys, again, for playing the song. I appreciate it. There's a gal named Abby Pathrath from – she lives in Jackson Hole, right, Diana? I believe. I
think she does now, yeah.
Yeah, and she's a killer mountain artist, and I've been a big fan of hers for years since I've been fishing and being around the West. You'll see a lot of folks out West with some cool hats on, and you'll realize that it's Abby's artwork. She does a lot of different types of mediums, I guess, with painting and stuff like that. But I reached out to her, kind of cold shot her a message, just like, hey, I love this piece of artwork that you did for Trout Rodeo. Can I use it for my song? And she said, yes. So we updated the artwork a little bit, put Trout Rodeo in there. And I'll send it to you guys. You can check it out, or I've been posting it on my social media, getting people fired up for the release. But Abby's an amazing artist in her own right. And it's really cool that she's partnered with us, and she's actually partnering with Candade, which Diana can tell you a little more about on this release, because we're doing something cool merchandise wise on the release.
Yeah, we're doing a pre-order where people will have a limited amount of time to, you know, pick their package that they want, and then we'll ship it out once that window closes. But we're going to have sun hoodies with her artwork on it. Hopefully some trucker hats, because that's what Abby, she sells a ton of those out here and people love them, with the artwork. And then a women's tank and a man's or a unisex t-shirt. But the artwork is really cool, so we'll have to make sure that we send it over to you guys. And she's really generous, but obviously she's an angler herself. And so she cares about getting kids instruments and also keeping the rivers and waterways clean. So it was nice that she was willing to support us.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's super cool. Super cool. Now, is there a lot of, do you fly fish a lot in Kentucky? Is that a thing, Arthur? Or well, do you kind of have to travel out west for that?
Kentucky is known for having more shoreline than Florida. Which is interesting, right? And we, yeah, it's an interesting factoid. We've got a lot of rivers, a lot of really nice creeks, and in our you know, we have a karst topography for all you geologists out there, limestone creeks, and it's killer smallmouth and rock bass and other types of species of fishing in these small creeks. We're actually blessed with a really good tailwater fishery under the Cumberland River. The Cumberland River below the Cumberland Dam there in, I guess, near Monticello, Kentucky, or that would be an hour from there. But there's a killer trout stream in Kentucky called the Cumberland River, which the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife stocks, and I've been lucky to fish there a bunch. But yeah, the trout rodeo is cool because I was on a cross-country road trip in 2015 with Galen Green, the original mandolin player from the Wooks, and Joe Dillschneider, the paterfamilias, or the OG of trout rodeo, took us fishing, and we jammed for him. And then since then, it's kind of grown. We took the Wooks, the whole band, one year. And then every year since, I'll bring a couple buddies, and we'll go out to Montana. We'll fish for a few days, which is so epic. And we'll play a ton of music, and we'll beat the drum for Candade, which we're going to do again, like I said, August the 18th at the Burnt Tree Brewery in Ennis. I'm a big, if bass are hitting top water and I've got a 3-weight, I'm going to go try and catch them with my fly rod. So, been to the Quetico, been to Canada, been all over fishing. So
gotcha. Maybe one day I'll learn how to do that, but
I don't have the slightest
to my spinner rod fishing. Like a child.
You guys come on out, because my boyfriend owns a fly shop in Boulder, so he'll take you both if you want to learn, for sure.
I'll be heading back to Colorado.
He's gonna have an awful big headache after he tries to teach me.
I'll be out there. November for Charles Wesley Godwin playing Red Rocks. That's the next time I'm planning on going out.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if that's good fishing season.
Well, he'll say anytime is good fishing. So, yeah, if you're game, he's game.
Gotcha. Now, we do usually do like a rapid fire segment, but instead, I'm just curious, both of you can answer this if you want. Who is one person, like celebrity, musician or not, that you would want like to take you fishing?
I would say Vince Herrmann from Leftover Salmon. I'd love to fish with Vince. I think that would be
all fun. Right.
Well, if it was still possible, I'd say John Prine.
There you go. Oh. Anything's possible. This is a hypothetical question.
Yeah, I just love to talk to him. I don't have to fish, but I would love to have had the chance to meet him.
Yeah. Don't care if you catch anything all day with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he doesn't even have to fish.
What about you?
He'd just be fun. You could fish and just let sit and let him tell stories. I think that'd be great.
Totally.
Garrett, what's your choice?
My choice?
That's hard to top John Prine. It's pretty cool.
I want to go fishing with Billy Strings.
Dude. Well, yeah. Actually,
we're working on it. You can bid on it, hopefully.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Or I'd go with Jesse Daniels. Been pulling in some big ones.
Yeah, Jesse Daniels.
Yeah.
Fishes all the time.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. Let's circle into one of your current projects here with Wolfpen Branch. And Wolfpen's been staying busy, not just playing Wolfpen shows, but playing with Cole Chaney. And I think the first time I saw you together was at Laurel Cove this year, and I got to see it like 2 weeks later at Send It Slam too. So I've been blessed this summer. When in doubt, go to Kentucky, you'll see cool stuff. How did that all end up coming to be, that partnership with Cole? I know it had something to do with playing on his first album, correct? Or
Cole, and I posted about this the other day because I have to live in the social media world, sadly, but I posted, like, it's crazy. I got a message. Cole saw my music on Think I'll Stay Here and Meme, who you guys are buddies with.
Of course. Yeah.
And he posted something about my EP. Cole checked it out. Cole checked out the Wooks. He's like 20 years old at the time. He comes over to my house to see a house concert. We kind of started being buddies, and he started making a project, and Roddy played bass, Chris played mandolin, I sang on it, and, you know, we helped him create this album, which is called Mercy. Cole was very mature in his direction on what he wanted it to sound like, but we made this record, and what does it have, like, over 3 million streams, you know? So yeah, it's kind of crazy, like, you know, none of us charged Cole to play on his project. We were just like, yeah, this kid's cool, he's writing good songs, let's help him out. And now we work for you, Cole. Like last weekend we opened for Zach Bryan, by the way, who's right, like, yeah, killing
that,
it.
That crowd was insane. I was watching you guys live for a little while.
Yeah, wasn't that cool?
Who was it? Was it Chris had it set up on, anyway, it was on Facebook.
Chris put it Chris put like his phone down on stage just so you could see this 5,000 person crowd, which was really exciting and fun. We did well. We've got a lot of shows. We're playing at the Exit Inn. If this comes out tomorrow, you'll know. You could come to Nashville and see us at the Exit Inn on Thursday. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a lot of fun stuff. We're going to Colorado next month with Cole. We're happy to support him. I think he's a great writer. I think he's a great singer. But I think he's an even better guy. He's mm-hmm. young, but he's experienced, and he's smart. And, you know, I look at what's happening. You know, people are really responding to his music, so it's fun to be around. And we're enjoying that. Wolfpen just released another single last Thursday called "Then I'm Gone," which we might hear at the end of the show. I wrote that song in 2020 on a full moon and was excited to record it. It's just a tale of, you know, wishing the world would just get along. So, we got a lot of fun stuff happening, man. It's been fun. I guess I came on the Hippies and Cowboys was in 2020, wasn't it? Or
it was, and it was right after. It was 2021, because it was right after New Year's, I believe, 2021.
Okay.
But you guys, at the time, that for the first time you appeared on the show, you because you appeared again with Chris and...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is your
Chris and Aaron?
Time.
Yeah, because it was like Hancock and Shouse, then it was Wolf. Because
you guys were Shousecock as it at the time.
Yeah, it was still Shousecock, yeah.
That was the name that won the competition. So we actually have... We need to remake some of those t-shirts and send them to you guys. But
yeah, I have the Wolfpen Branch. I have the Shousecock design with the Wolfpen Branch on it. But
nice. That was nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything's going really well. It's nice to see movement and energy and people going to shows and supporting music. And, you know, it's a blessing to get to do it. And it's a lot of fun as well to get to work on cool projects through music with organizations like Candade, where we're up to some fun stuff. So,
yeah, definitely, man. It's been great seeing you out and about this summer too, and it's good seeing that you guys are heading west too. You know, still no Iowa stops on the road, but you know, one day I got my fingers crossed.
Well, we started working on a tour in summer of 2023 that definitely has Iowa in the crosshairs. So, We'll be in touch.
All right. I'll hold you to that. No, that's cool. Yeah. Shoot. There's something else I was going to say, but
I think we,
I know. I was going to say another thing, not music related, is I just wanted to give you props on that cabin, Arthur, because that thing looks sick. From the last time I saw it.
We'll have us an exclusive Candaid Hippies and Cowboys podcast concert there.
Ooh.
We'll raise money for Candaid at the Secret Cabin in Estill County, Kentucky. Yeah, we'll do it.
Wookiee Manor?
Definitely. Definitely down for that. No, I'm impressed, man, because it was still like, you know, pretty bare bones last year when we were out there, and those beams and the siding.
It looks good.
It looks slick, excited, man. Good work.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, Diana, can you tell us all where we can find everything Candaid and how to donate and everything like that?
Definitely. We are always looking for volunteers. And as I mentioned, we do things all over the country. So Arthur already said he's going to be hosting another creek cleanup this fall in Kentucky. So you can go to the website, which is just www.candaid.org, and you can find places to sign up for our newsletter, which will keep you we do sort of geo-targeted, hey, here's what's in your neck of the woods type of email, so people can know what's happening near them, and they can come volunteer for something, and they can, there's a link to donate on every single page on that website, so it's pretty easy to give us your money if you're so inclined, which we would be grateful for.
Definitely. We'll have that website linked in our description of the podcast.
Absolutely.
Too. So, yeah. If you're tough at spelling like I am, it'll be right there in the description for you.
Awesome.
And, but, yeah.
Hey guys, thanks so much for coming on the show today and sharing everything to do with Candaid and everything Trout Rodeo.
Yeah, Trout Rodeo!
Not just thanks for coming on the show, but thanks for all both of you have been doing. You've been helping a lot of really good causes. So thank you for all of that. Also, it's a really interesting listening to all the great ways you're helping people. So yeah, that's sweet. But we are going to end it with that new Wolfpen.
Then I'm gone.
Y'all be safe.
Yeah, you too. Have a good show tonight, Arthur, in like a half hour.
Yeah, about to go play.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Hasn't always been that way, just that bad. ocean.